podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's
the true definition of a rock star.
So care about by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
What's the story this week? Am I fucked in your world?
It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on parockshow.com, megarockradio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, altrockradio.ca, Hamilton, Toronto, Canada, xrpradio.co.uk, Birmingham, United Kingdom, rudruradio.com on the beaches of San Diego, California, and right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, buildthescene.com with our two red lights. That's why that's funny. My name is Bill. This is episode number 550 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight from Corners of Sanctuary is Mick Michaels. What's up, Mick?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. A little busy, but well.
good.
Earlier today, I sent you a message asking you about what we could talk about, and it turned into me telling you that you guys are a songwriting machine.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, again, that's what a band's supposed to do, right? I mean, I don't really consider myself a musician, so to speak, in that traditional sense. I mean, we play music, we write music, so it's kind of like what we do. If we were doing something other than that, people would be wondering, well, what are you doing? If you're not a band, you should be doing something related. So, I mean, if we were a painter, we would be painting. If we were a football team, you would expect us to be playing football and practicing on the field. So it's the same thing.
How many Christmas albums do you have out? Is that like 7 or 8?
We have been doing something for the holidays since 2012. So we have 8 packages out. I think we have, a lot of them were EPs, and then each year they kind of like build because we take them, repackage some things, but we have, you know, our original holiday stuff. And then we have some traditional music that we've done, but we've kind of done our version of it. We do a little piece of it, and then we add some other pieces to it. So with, I mean, there's a good amount of material for holiday stuff with us.
And how did that come about? Because when I think Christmas, I don't really think metal right off the bat, but I love it.
I mean, listen, it's all, like, I love the season, and it was always something I always wanted to write holiday songs. I just love holiday songs. So like, the sooner they start playing, the better. I don't have a problem with it like some other people do, but I find them to be very inspirational on a lot of different levels. So when this band was, I never seemed to have an opportunity or an avenue to do it in the previous bands over the years. Maybe not mix the right mix of people, or just something, you know, didn't utilize the season as a marketing tool. But I knew when I was putting this band together that this was something that we wanted to work into. And it just, you know, hey, I said, you know, I'm paying the rent on the place, so why not, you know, let me give a shot. Let me see what we could do. And it was real enjoyable because it broke the norm for us, like, you know, right throughout the year. Now, we would usually start in August record, like, you know, laying down some demos and things like that. So, you know, we were kind of like early into the season. So it's kind of weird. You're thinking Christmas in while you're wearing shorts, but it seemed to work for us. So, you know, it'd be something that a little more lighthearted. We can enjoy it. And we tried different things in a sense, things that, you know, and you know, what I've learned over the last 10 years with this band is that, it has given us the opportunity to expose the music. We get more airplay in those 6 weeks that when we release the holiday songs than we do all year, so to speak. And we get it in a lot of different markets that we normally wouldn't be played in, which is really cool. And our music has got on FM radio. You know, it's played on Pandora. So there's, you know, and then even some pop internet stations and stuff that doesn't necessarily do metal primarily. So it's been kind of cool, and it's given us an avenue to explore and reach different groups of fans.
So you mentioned the people that think that Christmas music is played too early, and it made me think of a story of something that happened to me this year. We were having crazy hair day at my school the week before Halloween. So the day before, or no, it was the day before Halloween. So the day before Halloween, I'm running around trying to find a cheap wig. And I didn't find one. But I got the Big Lots, which is, for those of you that aren't familiar, it's like they buy lots of, but that's what they're called. They buy lots from places. Maybe there's an error on the box or a company closed and they buy whatever's left and they, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, I went there thinking they're definitely going to have something. And I walked in and there was not a single Halloween thing, not even Halloween candy.
Oh, wow.
And they were playing Christmas music.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just this year. You can't hold it against anybody this year, or, you know, 2020. I think the sooner the better. People just needed something to latch on to. So, but I do. I mean, there are things that, like, you know, I remember one year that it was early October. Some of the stores were already had displays out and things like that. I mean, I'm not trying to rush the season. You know, we have to get through Halloween. We have to get through Thanksgiving, you know, but, you know, when it's full on, I'm all for it. So, and then, like I said, with this band, we take advantage of it, and it's, you know, it's become like a tradition now with the band members, and we have fans that ask, hey, you guys doing a new song? So now there's an expectation. So, you know, about around September, we'll start getting messages. Hey, you guys doing a tune this year? Or, you know, whatever, you know, things like that. So it's cool. I enjoy it.
I am. Speaking of writing, I asked you if you had been writing during the pandemic, and you said you're doing a double EP release and you have a full length in the works.
Yes. Well, I mean, during the pandemic, we did a lot of writing as well, just like everybody did, you know, I mean, when there was nothing else going on. But we had, you know, and we kind of write all the time though. That's the thing. So it's not like we set aside like 3 months of the year and we write and then we let it go and then don't do anything else. I mean, we write all the time. I mean, we write a lot of stuff that just never goes anywhere because it just doesn't flow or doesn't work or it's retooled later on. Or, you know, I mean, we demo a lot of stuff and then we catalog it someplace. And so, I mean, we have stuff that we'll probably never go back to. And then there's things that we do go back to. But yeah, we had we released our last album in October 30th, actually, Heroes Never Die. And
now, the day I was listening to Christmas music.
Yeah. To run around trying to get away. And, you know, part of our promotional idea, or at least the rep that we had, his idea was like, we need to follow this up with some new material come the beginning of the year. And I'm like, well, all right. You know, I mean, I says, we already have stuff in the works. I go, I'm not going to write anything specific. Like, you know, you want me to do this or you want me to do that. But I says, we do have some stuff, you know, that we were putting together for an EP. And we like EPs. We do a lot of EPs because it gives us an opportunity to experiment with different writing styles, arrangement styles, and sounds in terms of we play. Like our full-length albums are not strictly traditionally Corners of Sanctuary sound, but there's an evolution to them. But our EPs are always a little off to one side or the other than our albums. And that's by design because it gives us an opportunity to experiment. For the most part, we keep our EPs independently released so that we could do that. We don't have to adhere to anything. But we have fun with them. So, but we had some stuff already in the works. So over the early part of the holidays, I was writing and I wound up getting into a little niche and I started writing a handful of songs. And plus I'm doing some side projects as well. So once you get into that zone and you're writing, you kind of start writing all the time. Like everything you're doing now becomes a writing cycle. So I'm actually kind of out of that cycle now, thankfully, because I wasn't seeing too much of the light of day and I wasn't getting a chance to enjoy most of the holidays because I was recording a lot. But we wound up getting enough material for another album. And I'm not really like with an album just released not too long ago. I don't mind stretching it out. Like if like we released it, like an album came out in September and then we just released one this past October, but to have it come out. So like, you know, with the first quarter or early second quarter of the new year. So our idea is, and we're going to probably split up, have a volume one, volume two, and then we'll see how the, maybe we can do a full release later on and add a couple tracks to it. Who knows? We'll probably have stuff by then. So, but yeah, we have a new out, the full length album. Yeah, that's, we've already, we started working on that last year actually. So
have you ever thought about doing a live album?
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago we released, it was a limited release and it was only available at our live shows. We played the Trocadero, here in Philly, and they had recorded it. We got a pretty good sound, I think. Anyway, we released it, you know, live at the Trocadero because it was kind of cool. You know, it's our hometown thing, and it's not available anymore. But, you know, it was okay. You know, it was all right. And I think last year, if I remember correctly, there was some bonus tracks that were added to a CD of our What We Leave Behind. There was a couple live tracks from our West Coast tour when we played the Whiskey and the Doll Hut. There was a couple tracks from that put on there. They're okay. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not a real big live like playback type of guy. Like they never seem to have the same energy in my opinion. And the songs, you know, like I'm always bummed out because the songs are never played the same way. So as a fan, I just kind of stay away from live stuff. But you know, I don't know. I'm a studio guy, I guess. But who knows? Hey, listen, if there's a call for it, we'll do it. I don't care.
So I'm trying to, I've talked to you a handful of times between the two shows.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think what I've asked and what I haven't. Have I asked you the Dave Grohl question?
I don't think so. I don't remember that. I remember a cartoon question.
That's Christina's fault. Okay. So the Dave Grohl question is quite simply this. All the videos I see on YouTube of the Foo Fighters live, it's Dave Grohl bringing somebody up on stage. Yeah. And they, right. So my question is, who is your Dave Grohl? So if you were at a concert and you wanted to go up on stage and play with the band, who would be the band that was on the stage?
So I have two. It would be Judas Priest, but they'd have to bring KK back, and Kiss.
I think I might ask that because I remember you telling me Kiss.
Yeah. Listen, and you know what? They don't even have to plug me in. I don't even care. I just want to stand up there and just hold something and get a couple pictures. They don't even have to turn my volume up, or I could just hold an E chord the whole time. it doesn't make a difference to me, right? That would be awesome. Either one.
When did you know that you wanted to be a musician? Even though you told me you don't consider yourself a musician, but when did you know you wanted to be in this business?
In this business? Well, there's a thing. Like, you don't realize you want to be in this business or that there is a business at first. That's a concept you don't get until you're actually in it, and they don't give you a jar of Vaseline at the door. So it was definitely in the 70s, Kiss Alive too. And you know, I had the plastic guitars, you know, one actually was the Kiss guitar and the other one was a Happy Days guitar. It was like a little black Strat type thing. The Kiss one was a double cutaway, kind of like the one that, I can't remember the name of the guitar, but the one that Joan Jett uses. And I just knew it just kind of, you know, I don't know. It just had that feeling. But the thing was, is I actually started out in drums. My family thought that it would be a way to, because I was what they considered me hyperactive as a young kid, and they wanted something for me to kind of like work some of that hyperness out. So I played drums for a number of years, but I realized that I wasn't able to write the songs that I wanted to write. Like immediately I knew I wanted to write songs. But they, I couldn't get the same, like, so I would, you know, I would write these things, you know, and I try to put words to it. And it didn't work the same way. And I go, listen to this song I got. And, you know, my mom would go, I don't get it. So, you know, so I was like, it didn't work. Now my older brother played guitar and he played in a lot of local bands and stuff like that. So as I got older, pre-teens, I, you know, to be more like your older brother, I kind of started gravitating towards guitar. And, within the first couple months of just being able to learn a couple chords and stuff, I started realizing that this was going to be the vehicle so that I could get some of these songs that were in my head out. And that's kind of the route that I went. That's why I don't really consider myself a musician, because I gave up. I hated practicing. I hated going through all this, you know, all that kind of crap. But I wanted to write songs and I wanted to play in a band. And so I learned 9 chords. I got some basic chops together. I played with guys that were slightly older, so I had to be a little better. But I never learned all that other stuff. I didn't want to. I didn't care to. But I was honing my songwriting, in my opinion, what I felt was, you know. And, you know, and I was, I, you know, and so I learned on the fly like that. But what happens is you don't learn, you sacrifice some of the technical ability. Especially once you're into the flow, you're like, well, I don't need that. What the hell do I need that for? I'm already doing this and doing that. So that's why I don't really necessarily consider myself a musician, right? I mean, people throw that around like it is, you know, whatever. And but to me, I'm a songwriter that just so happens to play guitar. And you know, now I'm a songwriter who just so happens to play guitar that's now being forced to play lead guitar. So, you know what I mean? Because primarily I was always a rhythm guitar player, and I was content with that. You know, kind of led that rhythm section solid, you know. But that's where I honed my, you know, what I feel are my songwriting chops, and I'm still working at it. You know, it's that thing.
What I'd like to do now is play a track off of Heroes Never Die. Let's do We Never. What can you tell me about that track? Story, you know, a story about what the song's about, or the writing process, or something that happened on stage while you were playing it, you know, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, the song is basically about just not giving up. We there's a lot of that to our music, lyric wise, not giving up, and don't necessarily, you don't have to take at face value what people always say to you, both good and bad, right? I mean, like, if you know in your heart what you're doing is good or worth it, or it has potential, or, you know, has a message, or is making some kind of difference in someone's life somewhere, has ripple effects, then you keep going with it. I mean, you know, people will tell you all different kinds of things. It's not worth it. Don't waste your time. You should keep your day job, so on and so forth. And it's kind of like that, you know, like that's what the song's about. And you'll, you know, because you'll get a lot of people that will say, well, there, follow me, or do it this way, or do it that way. And the best way to do it sometimes is just do it yourself. And, you know, what's the saying? You know, you made your bed, now sleep in it, type of thing. And I think that's kind of the best learning tool for people. It's because it gives you experience. And so what if you don't hit a home run with it, or, you know, whatever, or you strike out. It doesn't mean that it's over. And a lot of times people get that feeling, or they're told that, right? They, you know, oh man, this album's a flop. No one's ever going to listen to us again. Listen, man, there's an ass for every seat, right? So, you know, and if you look at it, if you take that with a grain of salt and you go, yeah, man, you know, I mean, today's one day, tomorrow's another day. Look at professional fighters, look at professional football teams and baseball teams. Some days, it's, you know, some years they're at the top and other years they're not. So it's the same thing with everything else that you do. And if you keep that type of attitude that I'm just going to keep going, keep doing it, whatever I can, I'll make the most out of it. And then I'm going to stop when I decide to stop, not because somebody else said, you know, maybe you need to hang it up or whatever. They may be right to some degree, but until you're in your heart ready to do that, there's no point. So never give up, you know. We actually started writing that song, believe it or not, a good portion of Heroes Never Die was written during the sessions of our last album, The Galloping Hordes. And we actually had, when we did The Galloping Hordes, when we went in to do The Galloping Hordes, we had decided to do a double album. I don't know what we were thinking at that time. So, yeah, let's do a double album music. You know what I mean? I mean, we're old school guys, so that's the problem. Like, we're still thinking it's, you know, somewhere between 78 and 85, and we get kind of lost. Anyway, so we started to record some of the music that, you know, that would have been on the second disc or second album, whatever the hell you want to call it. And then somewhere we go, wait a minute, what are we doing here? I go, nobody does double albums anymore. It's kind of, you know. So we picked the songs that we felt that were going to go with the Galloping Hordes theme, and the rest we shelved. So we started, that album was started in December of 2016. So there was some of that music that was happening at that time. So a lot of that stuff was shelved. So that song's been around for a bit, at least with us, before it, you know, it seen the light of day, so to speak. Unfortunately, since the album's released, we have not had a chance to play it out, you know, play live with it yet. We've done a couple online festivals. Some were complete
disasters. Which we're going to get to in a little bit.
Yeah, some have been complete disasters, some haven't. And because of the social distancing and, you know, and where people are, we decided to stick with, you know, the tried and true set of what we had, because our last like actual performance, we were in the UK when the travel ban came in, and you know, and like the US started to shut down. That was our first UK tour, and we only got a couple shows off, and then we had to cancel the rest, find a flight home. It was just, you know,
I last episode we actually talked to your label mate After the Fall, which they're from this area, and yeah, they released an album, an EP, right around the same time that you did, and he was telling me the exact same thing. They haven't been able to play out with it.
Yeah, it's and we had several shows lined up. You know, like we would take a show, and then as we got closer, they pushed the show back, or they canceled it, and or they never, you know, never happened. And from some of the, you know, our buddies that we've talked to that have been doing shows, at least in our area, it's just not the same. So that, like, some people, it's just not, it doesn't seem to be, you know, the numbers aren't there. The numbers weren't there locally anyway, but before, but now they're even worse, and there's no, you know, it's very hard to participate, and you know, so what are you going to do? Online seems to be the thing right now. You got to go with the flow, right?
Hey, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a listen to We Never off of Heroes Never Die by Corners of Sanctuary. We'll be right back with Mick.
We never surrender.
that was We Never by Corners of Sanctuary. I think even though I had them on last week, I think we'll play an After the Fall song there too. So now I'm talking in the future and saying I just played one, but that happens. You heard After the Fall too.
There you go.
We played New SA because I was supposed to play that last week and I screwed it up and played a different song. So New SA by After the Fall and Corners of Sanctuary, We Never. Both RFL records. I believe that stands for Rock in the Fast Lane.
Rock in the Fast Lane.
It's RFLrecords.com. And how did you guys hook up with them?
Mutual friend, business associate. We've been trying, Heroes Never Die, we've been trying to finish for the past year and a half, almost 2 years. So we would go in, we'd work on it, and then we'd go out and we'd tour. And we like to tour, we like to play out. So any opportunity we have, that's what we do. And we put the recording on hold. But we just kept figuring, well, we'll have time. So we were piecemealing it, and then it would sit and piecemeal it. We had made a decision that come hell or high water, you know, that 2020, we were going to finish the album right after we got back from the UK. We had no idea that, you know, hell was going to break loose. So hell and high water came, which gave us the opportunity to finish up the album. We had, at the time, our label Killer Metal Records out in Germany, we had informed them that, you know, we're going to finish up the album after we get back from the UK and we'll have it to you. Okay, great. Fantastic. So we finished up the album and we sent everything in, and we were told that they were temporarily shutting down because Germany's economy went into the crapper and, you know, everybody was shut. There's no, you know, and they for the unforeseeable future, everything was being put on hold. And I was like a little concerned. So we were talking back and forth, and they released us. And we, you know, it was like, okay, that's great. Now what do we do? So, you know, we talked to a couple of our PR people and some of our media guys, and our guy Keith from Infecting PR out in Canada. He was a mutual, he knew some people over at RFL, connected, you know, said, hey, Corners of Sanctuary is now kind of a free agent. You know, is that something you'd be interested in? Well, within like 2 days, we got a call, but we don't get call. Nobody gets calls anymore like that. You know, we got a message, and we started talking, and we were going back and forth, and we talked with John, and everybody seemed to be on the same page. They kind of got what we were doing. You know, we're a very niche type of band, or niche, however you want to say it, type of band, because we have an older sound. Some people like to call it dated. I don't think it's very dated. I think it's the modern sound of classic heavy metal or something like that. So he got, you know, what we were doing, and we decided that, you know, this seemed like a right fit. So we already had the album and everything else. So we wanted to get it out before the end of the year. We took the last day possible, and we did an aggressive 90-day pre-promotion before its release. So just to have it so that it was out there.
The other thing I want to talk about before I let you go tonight is, in about a week of the release of this episode, you guys are doing another streaming fest.
Yes.
What can you tell me about that, and how do people listen?
It's called the Metal Storm, the Deep Freeze Fest. It's pretty cool. It's being presented by Keep It Metal Promotions. They're actually a Pennsylvania promotional company. And they're doing it in conjunction with Rock Attic Radio, and they're going to be streaming it on their, I think it's on their website, rockatticradio.com, and their Twitch channel. I actually think that most of the time, this Twitch channel thing, you're getting a better streaming than you are directly from their website. So, you know, it's whatever that is. I don't know what their Twitch thing is, but it's on their website. So it's seven or eight bands, and there's bands from the UK, Mexico, Sweden, you know, and then the US, which is kind of cool. What I like about these is that we're getting the opportunity to play with bands that we wouldn't normally have the opportunity to play with. And it's really cool. You know, I mean, again, if this is the new norm, whatever that is, bands need to embrace it, do whatever they can with it. I mean, we did one in April, and it didn't go over very well. I mean, the bandwidth, it just was crashing, and it was a lot of this, you know what I mean? Some of it went blackout, or it was so pixelated, it was pretty rough. But the technology is getting better, and people are figuring out a better way to do it. So it's a free event. It's happening January 23rd. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. I think each band is doing like a 20 to 30 minute set, something like that. And it's pretty cool. Again, it's just a way to get your name out there, keep things going, give you something to promote along with your music.
I assume that everyone's in their home cities doing that. So, like, yeah. do you have a stage that you're going to be on, or?
I'll give you an example. When we did one that was being broadcasted from Chile, and we had rented a studio area, like a big open studio. There was nothing in it. We just brought our equipment and the cameras that with like a minimal crew. We used the social distancing and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, the thing is however, whatever you want to believe or what you don't want to believe, whatever, you want to maintain safety for everybody. I mean, safety should be a common thing, even if we weren't in a pandemic and everything else that's going on. I mean, safety should be a concern because, you know, you want to see tomorrow. So, you know, it's just doing a couple extra precautions and jam, you know, do what you can.
All right. So two questions, and I'll let you out of here. The first one is, other than that streaming show on the 23rd, what else is coming up for the band?
Well, we're working
and,
on
and the music.
We have this EP coming out. We haven't settled on a date yet. It's in post-production right now, so there's no rush. But, you know, we'll probably be looking, you know, either end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter. And as soon as we have a date, we'll get it out there. And it'll be a two volumes piece. The first volume will come out, you know, as I said, and then the second volume will come out beginning of summer. It's going to be digital releases right now. Again, there's no point of having, you know, too many CDs laying around if you can't get out there and schlock them around at a merch table. We are in discussion, depending on how everything opens up in the world. We are talking about maybe going back to the UK end of summer, and possibly, again, depends on how the rest of the year goes. And they are talking about a lot of restrictions being lifted third and fourth quarter. So we'll see of this year. But, you know, you got to start getting your ducks in a row sooner than later, that we may do a West Coast tour late fall. So we'll see. At this stage, you know, it's
hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but you got to do something. You can't say that you're not, you know, you can't just sit and wait for gold to fall.
All right. So I've been staring at this background behind you.
Is
that Striper?
That's Striper. Yeah. We opened for them, and I got them to sign it, and this is Saxon. Part of my little hobby is I get old albums out, and if I don't have them anymore, or they're, you know, whatever, I go buy them, and then I get the acts that we play with to sign them. And then some of these are posters, like from the show posters. Like, this is Britney Fox here. I don't know if you can see it. Here's Butcher Babies, Grim Reaper. Here's the Iron Maidens when we played at the Whiskey. Here's Blaze Bailey. That was an awesome show. Anyway, there's, you know, Sponge and Janet Gardner behind me. That was a phenomenal show, actually. But these are, you know, LA Guns and Udo. Anyway, so we get the, you know, they're just collection pieces for us, you know, in the studio.
It's kind almost... of remember,
so because we have a tendency to forget things. So yeah, our bass player James goes, did we play this show? I go, yeah, we were the opening act, and oh yeah, I forget that. So
it's almost like the history of Cause through the bands you opened for.
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, because, you know, I mean, you know, some of these we did while we were on tour, some were one offs. And
do you guys call yourselves Cause? I see like,
yeah,
Cause and Roll. And
yeah, Cause and Roll. We do, we say that a lot. I mean, we'll call, you know, Corners, you know, Corners of Sanctuary is easy to roll off for us, but not everybody does that. But it's, you know, we do, we say Cause, yeah.
Hey, Mick, I want to thank you for coming on. And you hit one of our milestones, the 550.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem. So what you guys need to do is check out Corners of Sanctuary at cornersofsanctuary.com. Make sure you pick up their new music and past music. There's a pretty good catalog for you to pick from. And check out the Pennsylvania Rock Show each and every Friday or 24/7/365 at buildascene.com. And check out our other podcast, Three Questions and a Song. You can find everything that I'm involved with by going to buildascene.com. Even if that means you have to click on the first angel link to find the media stuff that I'm doing. My name has been Bill. This has been episode number 550. We'll check you out next time.
This is your life.
Time to face the vice grips.
Breathing in this life that shakes my feet won't change my mind. Release me from everything.
Life. Time to face the voice. Breathing in this life that shakes my feet won't change my mind. Release me from everything. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.